RMWorldTravel.com is your place for show archives, travel news, sponsor links, and so much more. You can also connect with Robert and Mary and the RM World Travel Show team. Now, back to America's number one travel radio show.
All right, today's G-Block is going to be our latest personal connection that's sponsored by Seabourn.
And with a single sweet key, you can open the door to incomparable value of all-inclusive, ultra-luxury cruising on Seabourn. And from personal experience, we can attest you're going to feel right at home in an intimate, yacht-like atmosphere, all while being pampered with intuitive, highly personalized service. And from your spacious oceanfront suite, you can explore all seven continents, you can savor gourmet dining that's going to rival some of the best restaurants in the world, and you're going to enjoy complimentary premium wines, beers, and spirits.
Yes. Sign me up right now. It also happens with the added benefit of only having to unpack once, okay? This is your moment, folks, and when you travel with Seabourn for all-inclusive, ultra-luxury cruises and expeditions, it'll be your new favorite way to travel as well. Visit Seabourn.com for more information and show specials that include up to $2,200 off per suite for 2025 and 2026 cruises, or an air credit of up to $2,000 on select 2024 and 2025 cruises and expeditions. You'll also find a link, as always, at RMWorldTravel.com under sponsors.
All right, Robert and I have always felt that barriers are made to be broken, and today's personal connection is going to have us speaking with a captain who certainly broke a few. You may have seen United Airlines Captain Teresa Claiborne in the news when she retired in May, and her story is impressive. One, as the first Black woman pilot in the history of the Air Force, and then first to serve as an aircraft commander and instructor for the KC-135. Captain Teresa Claiborne joins us now via the Patriot Mobile Show hotline.
Teresa, nice to be connecting with you. Welcome to America's number one travel radio show.
Thank you very much. It's good to be here.
Well, thank you again. Listen, first, we want to begin by thanking you for your service to our country as a pilot in the United States Air Force. And secondly, sincere congratulations on breaking some pretty big barriers that Mary just mentioned in your intro. So when you graduated from Lachlan Air Force Base in Texas, I want to know, did you know you were going to be the first Black woman entering the Air Force? And if you did, was it motivating?
You know, I luckily did not know until a few weeks before I actually graduated, and I'm really happy that I didn't. I mean, I was young then, you know, 23 years old. I mean, you know, that's fairly young. And so what my brain could handle back then to know that I was doing a really big thing, I don't know if I would have been able to handle it as well. So I was happy that I did not know until near the end, and I was as surprised as everybody else. And it was a friend that reached out and said, hey, you're the first. And I'm like, the first what? Because no other Black woman has graduated from pilot training.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. So you clearly were just motivated because you wanted to learn how to fly and join the Air Force. I love it. And I think being the first of anything is significant. I think it says a lot about someone's passion and personality. Just briefly share a little part of your story that I know about that goes back to when you were young and you came home with a B+.
Oh, yeah. So my mom, I came home. I was very upset, and my mother said, what's wrong with you? And I said, you know, I just took this test, and the teacher said that she was grading on a curve. And the only person that scored higher than me got an A. And my mother said, well, what score did you get? I said, I got an 89. She goes, well, the last time I looked, an 89, that's a B. And I said, yeah, but she could have given me an A-. Why not? I mean, it's the second highest score. And my mother said, you know what, Teresa? Do A work and get an A.
And there you go. And that's why that's a big part of where you are today.
If we
wise
get nothing
words,
else out of the interview,
yep,
wise, your mom's words,
wise
they
words
resonate.
From your mom. Yeah. So, Teresa, you've gone from flying the KC-135, Boeing's military version of the commercial 707, to the most advanced Boeing 787 with a lot of other aircraft in between, I'm sure. You flew for United Airlines for 34 years. Talk with us about what you remember about becoming a captain, because that's also a huge accomplishment for any pilot.
You know, it was. I actually did not need to take as long as I did to fly as a captain at United. But I had a brother who was quadriplegic, and I needed master control of my schedule. And so I stayed on the 747-400 for 22 years just so that I had control of my schedule. But when I took that captain bid, there was a part of me that said, why didn't you do this earlier? I mean, I'd been flying aircraft commander and an instructor with the military. But it wasn't the same. Being a captain of an airliner is something else. you know, just call me queen.
I mean, just being up there. Actually, you know, from the, some of the pilots that Mary and I know that come on the show and so forth, I mean, there is just nothing like it, no question about it. So, you know, I want to kind of switch a little bit with you because you are in our personal connection segment of the show today, Teresa. And, you know, this is the part where we often talk about the power of travel to transform and how transformational travel can be, how it can be so impactful. You've navigated passengers all over the world as a pilot, enabling them, if you think about it, to go to weddings or honeymoons, you know, close important business deals, experience big life events, I mean, family vacations. I mean, so much more I could just come to mind. And you've also worked with numerous crews and airline personnel that are essentially just extended family, almost become part of your family from all of the experience that Mary and I have with it. So how would you explain what that aspect of your career has meant to you?
You know what? I wouldn't call myself a politician, but I love people. And so, you know, I make sure that I try to make an announcement that soothes people's minds, lets them know that, hey, look, I'm going to get you there. I'm going to get you there safely. That's what we do. And every once in a while, I'll get a letter from someone. I had a woman just recently that I took her to Lisbon, and it was a good flight. It was a little bumpy, and we got down, and we got in the arrivals hall, and she was standing there, and she was waiting. She just wanted to say, you know, thank you so much for making me feel comfortable. And she says, and I look, and there you are. You walk out with a smile on your face. The rest of the crew, you're gathered up to go to the hotel. And she was gobsmacked. She wasn't expecting me. Mm. She didn't know who I was from Adam. But she said, I just was, she just didn't even have the words. But she hunted me down through United and sent me an email saying just how pleased she was. And I don't know. It's even hard to explain it. It gives me chills that somebody, that I impacted somebody like that. And I've had it before. I've had people that reached out and said, hey, we're Million Milers, and now I'm friends with them. Message back and forth. I mean, yeah. It's just a good thing.
Well, that's the part of travel that when we talk about a lot, and you know, you think about it, how it is all of a sudden, it's like it is an extended family. It's all these relationships you build. Some people think, well, it's a job. No, it's not. It's so much more than that. We see it, whether it's the hospitality sector, the airline sector.
I think a lot of passengers who have fear of flying and things like that always appreciate when a pilot also talks to us. I know I do. So I love that personal story.
You're always up there in the cockpit talking to me.
Yeah, I try to connect if I can. So now that you're retired, although every pilot we know who claims they're retired is either flying private or they're working in other areas of aviation. I don't know if a pilot ever fully retires. Teresa, any plans, and what are you excited about for the next chapter?
Well, for one thing, I am back with United on a contracting basis, and I'll just be out there doing what I do, inspiring and working pretty much in the HR department. I still get to do what I love to do. And, you know, that's searching out for those young people that want a career and want to be a part of a family, which is United Airlines for me.
And are you still involved in the nonprofit?
I am. I still am. I'm still the president of Sisters of the Skies. I will be stepping down October. That'll be my last duty as president. But I'm still going to always be doing that. Always, always, always. I mean, you just got to be out there, and you just got to be talking to people. I just recently returned from the United States Air Force Academy, and the purpose there was to do their commitment address. This is when students who are becoming juniors say, you know what, we're in it to win it. And, you know, so they asked me to come out and speak. You know, come on, what more does a woman want? So I'll be doing some other speaking things across the nation.
Well, let me ask you, does your mom's advice of if you want an A, do A work, does that get into your speech when you talk before people?
Yes.
Yeah, it has to.
Most definitely, because that shaped Teresa.
And by the way, it's just sage advice for anybody, because things are not given to you in life, as you well know. I mean, you have to, if you want it, you have to earn it. We're seeing that right now with the Olympics. I saw one of the Olympians this week say, you know what, it's out there for me. I got to go get it. No one's going to give it to me. And that's essentially how you have to live your life, because if you wait for someone to give it to you, you're going to be waiting until you're not here anymore.
That's right.
Yeah. So, well, Teresa, very inspirational story. We really appreciate very much you joining us. And we salute you for your service. I do have to ask you really quick, you know, do you have, of all the planes you flew, favorite plane?
Ah, The Queen of the Skies, the 747-400. Yeah. Of course.
Yes. Well, there's Mary. All right. Mary, I'm right there with you, yeah, as a passenger. I've loved
always,
that.
I've always said the 757 only because I was told a long time ago by a pilot that that plane was overpowered and it could fly on one engine. And I kind of thought, you know what, that made me a little more comfortable when I was up there. But the 747, I mean, come on. You can't go wrong with that.
Yes, means. Most definitely. You know what? And four engines.
Well, that's true, too. So you got to get it. Listen,
thank you.
Versus
that's
one, you got three more. So, all right, folks, by the way, if you want to learn more, you want to connect with Teresa yourself, the website, TeresaClaiborne.com, TeresaClaiborne.com. Very nice connecting with you today. Have a great weekend, okay?
Fantastic. You all take care.
Thank you. You as well. Thank you.
All right. Captain Teresa Claiborne, Mary, there she
inspiring
goes.
Inspiring story.
All right, as we get ready to enter the bottom of the hour break, seven segments are now behind us today, but there are still three more to go, including us answering listener emails, as well as the museum gallery as we take you to the Children's Museum of Pittsburgh. Thanks for being part of today's August 10th broadcast, everyone. Rudy checks in next for the first time this hour. He's going to be here with the right stuff. We'll be right back.
Today's edition of RM World Travel will be right back, and you can always stay connected with the program at rmworldtravel.com.